Hey, 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 and welcome to episode 155 of How You At You. It's your girl Shani from K-Pop Box.
And Shay from The K-Way. And on this podcast, we love hanging out with you guys, talking through the hottest K-news, your unpopular opinions, dilemmas, and everything in between.
Yes, so if you want to join the conversation, make sure you hit us up on socials at How You At You. So let's sit back, relax, and let's get it started.
Yes, so our very first segment is Hot Topics, aka BBC Shanice, where we give you a rundown of the hottest K news that's come up over the past week or so. So Shanice, spill the tea.
Okay, so this is your content warning. This next story mentions SA, so if that's something you want to skip, I will leave a timestamp in the description below. So this first story is about Omega X. I don't know if you remember Shay. They had the whole controversy with them and their company and how they were treated really badly, like mentally abused and physically abused and all that, right? So their agency, Spira Entertainment, are basically putting out claims that a member from Omega X is basically accused of SA. So on the 19th of March, Spirit Entertainment held a press conference showing CCT footage of Omega X's member Hui Chan and the agency's former CEO Kang Sung-hee, or KSH for short, claiming that KSH was comforting Hui Chan when she was touched inappropriately. Omega X's current agency, which is IPQ, then released multiple text messages screenshots to highlight how KSH abused the member and how the claims made by Spirit Entertainment are false. So IPQ, the new agency, shares that the former CEO KSH and the current CEO Hwang Sung-woo forced the members to drink on multiple occasions. And of course, this worsened their mental states of all the members and made them scared to stand up against KSH since they didn't want to be left out of promotions / albums. Spirit Entertainment claims that on the 11th of July 2022, Hui Chan forced himself on KSH when they were alone. Spirit Entertainment claims that KSH pulled him into her office to discuss her concerns about his enlisting. And then IPQ states that at the time, Hui Chan did not receive notice about his enlistment yet. And Hui Chan received his enlistment notice on the 1st of August, 3 weeks after the alleged assault. So the reason why he was pulled into the office again, according to the new agency, they're already lying about that, right? So when Hui Chan and KSH were alone, KSH once again asked him to touch her inappropriately. Hui Chan did as he was told, since he didn't want to be verbally or physically abused. This event is what Spirit Entertainment showed in the CCTV where Hui Chan, quote-unquote, essayed KSH. IPQ states that in the video, it can be seen how Hui Chan isn't doing anything forceful and how KSH isn't resisting since she's the one who made the request. Hui Chan then fell asleep after being so drunk and KSH took a picture of him and sent it to his managers. His managers offered to pick him up and to take him home, but KSH refused. KSH then tried to force him to inappropriately touch her again by yelling at him to wake up. Hui Chan then, out of fear, I guess, did it. And at the thought of being intimate with the CEO, who is the same age as his parents, ran away to the first floor. Hui Chan then fell down the stairs and couldn't get up. The former CEO began to dance in front of him, mock him, and step on his head. When Hui Chan was able to get up, he ran and hid in the first bathroom. KSH continued to chase and yell at him until his member Kevin and his manager came to get him, since it was 5 a.m. and they began to worry about him. They found him hiding in the bathroom with KSH outside taking pictures of herself using the lobby mirror. IPQ states that they have a lot more text messages to prove KSH is a manipulative and abusive person, and that they are requesting for the full footage to be used as evidence in their ongoing legal case. They also added that they are countersuing Spirit's lawsuit against Hui Chan.
Wow.
Yeah.
no, like cases like this, no matter who is involved, are like always heartbreaking and insane to listen to. And I think perhaps not about this particular topic at the moment, but there is quite a bit of online dialogue about like power being abused, especially within the entertainment space, because there's that, I think it's a documentary.
Nickelodeon one.
Yes, I think it's called Quiet on Set. So the more that we hear about these stories, it's just heartbreaking. So yeah.
Well, hopefully, you know, this gets resolved, because this is horrible. moving on to some lighter news. Reportedly, Blackpink is preparing for group activities in 2024. I love how that's the report, because that could mean next week, or that could mean December the 31st. So I guess keep your eye out for that. But you know how YG are, because for those who don't know, they're still doing their group activities under YG. Are they? I think I made that up, but I'm going to assume.
I think as a group, they're still operating under YG, but for their individual stuff, they're elsewhere. I think that's where...
That sounds right, but I feel like I haven't read that anywhere. I feel like I've just made assumptions, because all the news has been about them doing solo stuff under their own company or whatever. So...
But we would have heard if they like pulled a GOT7 or something. I'm pretty sure that isn't what happened.
Yeah,
so I guess they could only still be, yeah.
So look out for that whenever that happens. And from Blackpink to the Black Label, the contestants of Island 2 have been revealed through performance videos. So you can find these videos on the Tube of You or YouTube. There's 24 contestants that were split into four performance units. So that's heel dance, whacking, girlish, and hip hop. So the heel dance, they're dancing to Sam Smith, How Do You Sleep? How do you sleep? How's that song go? I don't know. I don't know why I tried to sing it. the whacking performance video is to Blackpink's Do 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 remix. The girlish performance video is dance to Yumi Rae and BB's song Law. And then the hip hop performance video is dance to Missy Elliott's Pep Rally. So yeah, have a look so you can see who you want to be rooting for. Yeah, I think the oldest person on there is 04, by the way.
Oh, wow.
If you are old like us, if you want to feel old, yeah, 04. That is, wow.
Wow.
19, right?
I think, well, some of them might be turning 20 this year, but still, wow.
Wow, they're not even babies, it's just, I don't know. But it's just when you see the number, you're like, what? But it makes sense. But anyway. But yeah, that's it, y'all. That is Hot Topics. Hot Topics. Oh, that was terrible. But yeah, if there's any stories you want to comment on, or if you want us to comment on any stories, make sure you hit us up on socials at Hallyu at June. Okay, moving on to our next segment called Say What, where you send your unpopular opinions, dilemmas, hot tea. You can send that all to howyoutea@gmail.com. That's howyoutea@gmail.com. Or you can submit a form at kpopbox.co.uk/howyouatyou. So Shay, take it away.
Okay, so our very first unpopular opinion for today is Rise is the group with the most potential right now alongside ZB1.
Sure. Okay. The reason why I say this, because I don't want people to read that as like I'm disregarding Rise or Zero Base One. I don't know these groups. Like, I know Rise more in passing, because probably I've seen more clips and stuff. But I don't think I've listened to a full song of Rise, and I couldn't name you a zero-based one song. Unless I've just heard it in passing and I just don't know what it's called. But yeah, right now, like, I could name a Rise song or songs, even though I haven't heard the full thing. But I couldn't tell you what a zero-based one song is. I'm planning to rectify this soon, but I don't want to announce anything too prematurely, because the whole of last year I kept telling you guys, oh yeah, I'm coming back, guys. I'm coming back. And I haven't. So, yeah.
She will be back soon.
My don't thoughts. Promise them things.
My thoughts. Groups with the most potential, I think Rise, we've seen that they have a lot of potential. They had a really successful debut. People really like them. So definitely I see them having a lot of potential, and it'll be interesting to see what the future holds for them. In terms of Zero Base One, it's kind of similar to you. I'm not crazy familiar with their music. I've more so seen their like memes and their like TikTok content here and there. Obviously we're aware that they came off of like the Produce 101. I don't know what their season was called, but
they went through that.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's what they came through. So
are they like, sorry to cut you off, are they like the official group that won, or are they like a side group?
So as far as I'm aware, they're the official group that one. So
are they going to disband soon?
That's my point, is that it's not to say that they don't have potential, but as a collective, it's like I think their journey is probably almost up as a group, because as we know, the groups that come off that show, I think they stay together for 2 years. Something and then like yeah, about like 2 years or something like that, and then they typically either will go into other groups. Some of the members might stay together and go into those other relevant groups. Some people pursue their solo careers as actors or soloists. So yeah, I think they still have a lot of potential and have done some great things already. But I don't know. It's sort of like, I don't want to get my hopes up,
because you want to get too attached and then they disband.
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. But yes, so our next unpopular opinion is, this person said, I absolutely love fan culture and all of the positive things that people and fans do within the K-pop community, but I find it a bit weird when K-pop cover groups or cover dancers act as if they are idols, like posting focus cams, etc.
What other things that they do, K-pop cover groups do, that give off this idol-esque issue? Because I don't really, respectfully, I don't watch them. So
yeah, for me personally, I don't actually follow the K-pop cover dance scene. Like, the only reason I know anything about the space is because, like, through the work that we do and other things, we just know people within the community that are involved in different cover groups. But I don't think, like, just off the top of my head, I don't think I would have a huge problem if someone had built a platform, they have their own audience and community, and they decided to make focus cams. I think the problem would perhaps lie in if there was perhaps this like superiority thing, or they started acting differently. I think that would be the only thing. But if you want to make a focus cam, I don't see
anything wrong with that. I think the only thing that might be weird is if, for example, just say you're a dance cover group but you only did like NCT or whatever, and then Tracy thinks she's Mark or something.
Yeah,
then that's a bit like, no, you're Tracy. And then they want to do like, they start doing, I don't know, fan meets and no one asks for it. I don't know.
Yeah, no, I think that might be pushing it a bit. Unless,
but I don't know if that happens, but I'm just saying that's the only thing I could think that could be weird.
Yeah, and I think the only like area that, oh, okay, this makes sense, is I know some cover dancers have actually gone really big and they've built a really good platform. So sometimes they're invited to events like KCON and they might do like a fan meet situation because they've built a community, and that makes sense. But yeah, I think when people like try to impersonate idols, yes, you might be doing Mark's part, like he might have his special choreography that takes place in the music video, but I don't think you need to like try and act like that person. I know it sounds weird, but yeah, I think that would be crossing the line a little bit.
Yeah.
So that's,
but if you have more examples, then do let us know and then we can go deeper, I guess.
Yeah. And then on to our last unpopular opinion. This person said, idols getting plastic surgery should not be looked down on upon unless they are forced into it. In brackets, they said, I know most of them were, but what people do with their bodies / face should not be up for discussion. We can advocate for change without dragging the idol who has probably been through enough.
To be honest, I don't know if idols get looked down upon if they've had surgery. I feel like maybe more people talk about it in the sense of, oh, has so-and-so's nose looks a bit different? Have they done something or whatever? And it's like you're treading on weird territory because it's like, should you really be commenting about someone's bodies? But like if something's obviously changed and you're just saying what you see, are you not really coming from a bad place? That's the only thing where things can get a bit sticky, because I think maybe it's more like an international new fan issue that's going on. Because I feel like when we've been in it, it's kind of like, not that, you know, I don't have anything wrong with plastic surgery. If you want to do that, that's fine. But like, I think the only discussions have been, and not even just internationally, but, you know, within Korea as well, like when certain companies may force certain idols to undergo surgery in the hopes of, you know, if I just say yes and comply, I may get more lines or more screen time, or I may debut, so they just go through with it. Or, you know, a company is like, oh, you'd be, like, they've drilled into that person's head, oh my gosh, you'd be so much better if, you know, you had your jaw shaven down or whatever, and now it's in their head that, okay, maybe I do need the surgery, and they kind of comply and do that. That's where the problem lies. But within like just general netizens or the public talking about it, unless it's like a new fan thing, I don't really see people looking down upon it, because it's not that taboo now. Like even like back in our day, plastic surgery was kind of, not in Korea, because Korea there have advertisements for this surgery, that surgery, whatever, but like back in the day, I guess plastic surgery was taboo, right? But I feel like now everyone is so hyper aware, maybe not of everything, but of like certain procedures and, you know, Botox, nose job, this fat pushed hair or whatever. Like it's not really shocking. So I don't know. I don't really see people talking down upon it, if that makes sense.
I think it's interesting. One, like every person has a right to make choices with their body. Like we both agree on, the gray area is like if a company has forced certain procedures on someone, that's always going to be wrong. I think one of the main issues lie with the fact that, I don't think this just pertains to K-pop, but when people are in the public eye, a celebrity of any sort, people kind of look to you as an example or like a standard. And I think my issue lies with, if we are looking at X artist and they are an ambassador for like a cream company or like some sort of non-surgical like treatment or something like that, and they're like, oh, for using this one thing, that's how you'll be able to achieve these results, and just brushing over the fact that they've maybe actually had surgical procedures and that's why they were able to achieve X, Y, and Z results. I think that's what creates the gray area and the issues, and where, I don't know, everyone still has a right to their privacy, but I feel like it would only be ethical to disclose what you've had done if you're endorsing a product that you're saying is going to produce X, Y, and Z results, but that isn't what gave you the results you have. Because at that point, that isn't exactly ethical. I think.
But do you think idols getting plastic surgery is being looked down upon? Because that's what the opinion is, that they shouldn't it should not be looked down upon, but I personally haven't seen it. Like, what we're saying are, like, valid critiques, but it's not necessarily, like, for example, if I was an idol and I came out and I was, you know, oh my gosh, got my nose done. Like, I'm not saying it doesn't happen, but I personally haven't seen, oh my gosh, she got her nose done. Oh my God. Like, you may not like the nose, but that's not you talking down upon plastic surgery. You're just saying, you just think that shape of nose doesn't suit me. Do you know what I mean? It's not like, mm-hmm. I can't believe she's actually went and got surgery.
I think that does still happen, actually, to some extent. I can't think of, like, an example right now, but I feel like this still happens. This wouldn't be surprising, but especially towards female artists.
Yeah.
I feel like this does still happen because it is a thing of, like, oh, my gosh, like, she her eyes completely changed. Like, why would she do that? And I think there is still that taboo and looking down on things.
Mm.
To that point, I would say it probably still does exist to some extent.
Mm.
And it's interesting because even though surgery and, like, procedures are very, like, common in Korea, like, even to some extent, when you finish, say, for example, high school, uni, it's quite a known thing that your parents might gift you a double eyelid surgery or something. Mm. So although it's somewhat ingrained in the culture, it's still something. I think it's because these people are put on such a pedestal, like they were, like, created perfectly by God, and, like, they're just God's gift, and they're all, like, natural, and, like, they're this unattainable image that we look up to. So when some people find out, wait, this isn't natural, or, like, you wasn't born with that, I think people still do critique and look down on it to some extent.
That's fair. I can agree with that. I think the one person that comes to mind, and again, I don't know if this person has had surgery, but I feel like she gets a lot of hate, is it Won Young from IVE? Because I always see people, like, saying, oh yeah, like, she's so praised on her looks, but she didn't look like that XYZ years ago. And then they'll get pictures from, like, her pre-debut pictures. And again, that could be just, I haven't looked at the pictures properly, in a sense of I'm not here to inspect people's faces, I don't care, but it's like, again, that could be just, like, quote unquote baby fat. That could be, some people just change. I'm not saying that she hasn't had anything done, but yeah, there was just a lot of, like, essays going on about her being put on the pedestal, but she wasn't even born that way, allegedly.
That's interesting. So, I think another interesting perspective that I've seen on this, like, whole plastic surgery and art, K-pop artists discussion, is, like, when actual professional plastic surgeons do, like, their analysis and things like that. And obviously, one, they're professional, so they would have some insight, but you can only make so much out of looking at a picture of someone.
Yeah, and I think that's so dangerous.
Yeah.
Because can you imagine, yeah, like, especially, you know, like, those TikTok doctors or whatever, you're the idol, you're scrolling on your For You page, and you go, yeah, Shay got an eyebrow lift. And you're like, no, I didn't. What? Like, what? I didn't get that. Oh, did you see, like, back in April, she had a chipped tooth, but now she doesn't. You're like, no, that picture was just taken with, I actually just had something stuck in my teeth. Oh my gosh, there's something wrong with my teeth now. Should I get my teeth fixed? Like, you're putting more insecurity on this. It's like, I feel like people forget that they're people.
Yeah, it's interesting. And I think that's why, and these people don't have to share if they don't want to, but I think that's why I actually really appreciate when people that are perhaps still, like, active artists or, like, have disbanded and then go on to make other content actually, like, talk about their journey and say, oh, like, I did have this done, or people thought this. It's a really interesting dialogue. Not saying everyone has to do that, but it is interesting to know. This makes me think of one clip. I think one of my friends sent it to me the other night. I don't know how recent this was, but it seemed like Taeyong from NCT done some sort of live stream or something. Mm. I don't know on where. But he was like, oh, it seems like there are quite a lot of girls and women here, so I want to ask a question. It's a little bit sensitive. So I was like, what is this guy about to ask? And he was like, so I've been dealing with, like, a lot of excess sebum. And this, I was like, what? And like he had like a full on, like I think it was just so, one, it caught me off guard, but two, like just the vulnerability and the openness with his audience, because he was like, yeah, I have like some excess sebum and like my, I don't know if he said like his claw, like pores were feeling clogged. Like, does anyone have any recommendations? And I think he also said that he has like contact dermatitis in like some areas, so it's been itchy. And I found it so interesting, like just seeing that level of vulnerability, because yes, although these people are in entertainment, and part of entertainment sometimes is looking all put together and entertaining people or fulfilling a fantasy, but I appreciate the realness as well.
So,
that was really funny. And like, I think everyone in the comments was like, you need an oil cleanser, blah, blah, blah. And yeah, hopefully he got the advice he needed.
Work. But yeah.
Yep. Well, those were all of our unpopular opinions for today. If you guys have any unpopular opinions, dilemmas, requests, hot tea, or stories, you can submit them anonymously at kpopbox.co.uk/halu@you, or you can send them to us directly via email, which is halutea@gmail.com. So now, as we come towards the end of the episode, it's now time for On the Radar, where me and Shanice will let you know what's on our radar. This could be anything we're watching, listening to, or anything we want to put you guys onto. So Shanice, what's on your radar?
Dear Korean artists, in quotations, just because you guys have just discovered Apple Piano, yeah, that doesn't mean you should do it, okay? Mm-hmm. Now, Shay, I think you know what I'm about to say, but unfortunately, what came across my For You page, I want to rip my ears off. There's a difference in, and again, people can argue, because I feel like there's some people that just feel like other people should just not touch the genre, or they're just not doing it right, or it's not their taste. But I feel like I can tell when there's some sort of love and care within a track being made, and when you just think, oh, this is a popular trend now, so I'm just going to sing rubbish on top of this beat. So there's this video. I don't know who these people are. Maybe I'm uncultured, child. Of this Korean woman, this Korean man in the car. They're singing this song. And it's like, I don't know what it is. The woman wasn't really doing too much from what I can remember. But already it wasn't sitting with my soul. Like, I'm not even South African or anything, so this is not even part of my culture. But I'm just like, this is not sitting right. I don't know what it is. This just doesn't feel right. Then the chorus came. My man said, run away. I said, no. Run away. How about we run and turn this off? And then you just keep running, because I don't want to hear any... It's the fact you think this sounds good.
Yeah, I think I don't know if you sent it to me, but I know I've heard of this Runaway saga, but I think it just comes back down to a conversation that we've had for a long time, which is appropriation versus appreciation. Music is art. You can find a new influence and be heavily inspired and want to integrate that, but you can tell when someone's like taken the time and care to like intertwine or fuse a sound into what they're doing. And if they're just like, this is hot right now, this is what's trending, so let's just do anything. Because why?
That is the question, Shay. Why?
I think I saw one creator on TikTok that was like, I feel like K-pop is running out of ideas.
Do you know what? I think people are finally realizing what K-pop is. And maybe K-pop in a way kind of needs to evolve a bit. Okay, let me explain my answer. I've thought about this for a while. I can talk for myself. I think one of the main reasons how I fell into K-pop and why I've stayed for a long time is... it's that nostalgia feeling. If I go back to when I first got into it, so this was like your big, like Big Bang, they had just debuted or whatever. They were giving me B2K vibes at the time. And at this point, B2K were no longer a thing. So it's kind of like I'm familiar with this in a sense. It's still something new because they respectfully put their own, you know, twist on it. But essentially where it stems from is it's stemming from, you know, that sounds or that look that I liked. And it kind of, and if you even fast forward to the influx of people that became ARMYs, a lot of people that became ARMYs were fans of One Direction, were fans of 5 Seconds of Summer. And when they went quiet or disbanded or doing their own things, it's like, yes, I'm not saying they're copy pasting. Of course, BTS or they're doing their own thing, but there's that nostalgic, familiar feeling of, you know, loving a boy group again, and they all having their very different personalities and characters. You know, like, oh, this person is like a Zayn, or this person's like a Harry. Not like bar for bar, like, oh, I can't tell a difference, but like in a sense of everyone's different, but they come together as a collective and they do their own thing. Now, with the thing is, with the internet space, I feel like the world is becoming smaller, right? Mm-hmm. So where, you know, even 2016 days, where you might have to actually search up for it and you come across for it and you do your own research, now everything's kind of intermingled with everything. So I think what K-pop as a whole could have gotten away with in a sense of maybe recycling old ideas or recycling things that were popular within like the American music charts or the Western music charts a couple years prior, and then they're twisting it and creating their own thing on it. Because I feel like most people are up to date, and or most people are seeing things as they happen, whether you follow K-pop or not. It's like, okay, so how authentic is K-pop? And I feel like K-pop, people have argued this before, it's kind of losing its character because I'm not saying these groups don't exist, maybe they do exist, but they're not getting the exposure. You don't get like those wacky groups with crazy concepts where it's like, I feel like they're going for the safe bit, the company's going for the safe bit, they're going for things that they can see is working in the West and they can replicate those things quicker, that their contacts are bigger. They can now work with, oh, this producer worked with this artist. I can pay for that producer to come and produce like a knockoff version of the song that they just did. Or like they have talented producers that are like, oh, I like the sound of this song. Let's recreate it over here. And then it just comes across as unauthentic, especially like within the K-pop space where, you know, loads of people are privy to the fact that most of the time most groups don't get a choice or say on what's going on, what's happening within their album. We don't really know what these members like, so it's not even like, for example, okay, this song may not be my cup of tea, but I know that Stephanie from group X2Y is really into indie music, so that's why track 3 has an indie influence. I may not like it, but it makes sense to the group. Now I just feel like it's like the TikTokification of the industry, where everyone's just jumping on what's popular. I feel like it's a whole music thing as well, in a sense of, I feel like people just complain anyway, and then 5 years later, they'd be like, oh, I wish it was 2024 again. Music was so great. It's like, you can't win. So, but those are my thoughts. My little mini rant.
No, but I think that does make sense. Perhaps a period of time, at least pertaining to K-pop, that we unanimously will never want to go back to, was like the peak of noise music. Because, wow. No, that was something. But yeah, on my radar, I've been watching the K-drama Queen of Tears. It's currently airing still. It seems quite good. There's a lot going on. I'm enjoying it. I don't know how long I will continue to watch it.
I'm done.
Because like, this is honestly no shame, but I think I don't know if this came with maturity. I'm beyond the days of like watching dramas or shows where like everything you don't want to happen is what they do. Like I like shows, like when I watched Marry My Husband, it was like, okay, this lady has this problem and she took action towards the problem and like things were fixed. In this drama, it's kind of very reminiscent of like the dramas where like, oh, terrible communication or someone didn't say something. So then it rolls into a bigger problem later. And I feel like that just stresses me out. So it's been good. It's interesting. But I hope that the wheels start to spin a bit faster. But yeah, I think that's the main thing on my radar at the moment.
Well, there you go, guys. Let us know your thoughts, feelings and opinions on anything that we've spoken about today. Thank you for listening to How You At Chew.
Yes, and remember you can send us any of your unpopular opinions, dilemmas, stories or requests. You can submit those to halutea@gmail.com or you can submit them anonymously at kpopbox.co.uk/halutea.
Yes, I've been Shanice from kpopbox. You can follow me at kpopbox_.
And I've been Shay from the K-Way. You can follow me at the K-Way on most platforms.
Yes. And until next time, we will
holla at you.
Bye. Bye.